Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the 6 o'clock meeting for December 19th, 2023. I call this meeting to order. Let's all stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Here.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Here.
Commissioner Mapes?
Here.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Here.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Here.
Commissioner White?
Here.
Commissioner Coons?
Here.
Up next, we have the agenda. Can we have a motion to approve the agenda?
Mr. Chairman, I would like to have a little bit of discussion on item 3 and 4 and 5.
On the consignment?
I would like to consider those separately.
Okay. All right. So let's pull 3, 4, and 5 off of the consent agenda and put them on after, is it 5? After 6.
Six,
so it'd be 7, 8, 9.
Would that be under new business?
Yeah.
No.
Yes. Would that be under new business? Or be?
Yes.
Yeah.
You can add it to 7, 8, 9.
Okay. Other than that, we have a. Do we have a motion?
So move.
We have a motion to.
Second.
And a second to approve the consent agenda, removing those three items. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. Motion.
Nay.
Motion passes. I'm a little confused. Now we got to approve the consent agenda, or did we do that?
We just did.
All right.
On the public comment.
Public comment. So the mic is open. Anybody wishing to speak at the podium, step forward. Seeing nobody's stepping forward, let's go ahead with. The administrator's report.
Thank you. Good evening. In my report tonight, you'll see our staffing report. We have some positions still open. Just wanted to remind everybody of the January 3rd organizational meeting that will start here at 4:30 on January 3rd. I gave you an update. We have one of our staff members that's going to the Northwest Michigan Community Action Agency. And he's presented or gave us a report, so you have that in your packet. Bay Bluffs HVAC project, you'll see that's moving forward. We're finishing that project up in the mechanical room with the new boilers, the new water softener. We're hoping that gets completed within the next week or so. And also you'll see in the Sheriff's Road Patrol, the HVAC replacement project there is also in its final stages for completion right now. We did have a meeting with the Petoskey Curling Club, and they are interested in coming out to the fairgrounds and putting up one rink or one slab so they can do curling. So we're working with them. We'll take that to the Parks and Rec Board on their next meeting in January. So a nice little addition for the wintertime there. They were in the sports park, and they just can't do it this year with the work going on there.
Okay. Thank you, Dave. So up next, we have claims and committee travel vouchers. Looking for a motion.
Chair, I move for the payment of the claims in the amount of $2,543,422.30 and for the payment of committee and travel vouchers in the amount of $12,351.28.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Let's have the roll call. Is there any discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Loftbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
And the motion passes. Next, we have new business, architectural and engineering service.
Yes, we went out for an RFP to hire an architectural firm to come in and help us on our projects that we have coming out through the year. The reason for this is to get set prices, so when we have projects that we know about or things that come up and we need the engineering services, this gives us that opportunity to work with the company. We did go out for RFP, and you'll see that we had two proposals come back in, and the recommendation is to move forward with Sciadoc, which is the firm that we've been working with a lot on Bay Bluffs. They've helped us out. They have a comprehensive team built in, architectural, engineering, everything that we need. We still will get proposals from them and prices and still come back to the board for approval, but this gives us a firm to work with.
Okay, so we're looking for the motion.
Mr. Chair, I move the board approve the proposal for as-needed architectural and engineering services submitted by Sciadoc Group, pending a suitable agreement to be determined by civil counsel and the administrator, and authorize the administrator to sign the same.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Yes.
Commissioner Loftbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
And the motion passes. Up next, we have a baler.
Yes, this is for DPW. This is to replace our system out there right now that is aged, and we have some real mechanical problems with that. We worked with a consultant to put an RFP together, put it on the street. We received quite a few bids, and I'm happy to report that the bid that came in is within budget, and it is with a company that we've been working with to help us keep the operation going, SpeedTech. And so tonight we're asking you to approve the bid from SpeedTech in the amount of $541,059, and this is currently in our budget.
Chair, I'd like to make that motion.
All right, go ahead.
I move to approve the bid from SpeedTech for the purchase of the American baler as specified in the amount of $541,000. Pull the closer side, do that. $541,059, pending a suitable agreement to be determined by civil counsel and the county administrator, and authorize the county administrator to sign all necessary documents to complete the project.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
I attended the DPW meeting, and there is a less expensive one, but the machine does not fit the footprint of where we want to put it. So.
And I'm glad they recommended to go with SpeedTech, because I've worked with them before when I was employed there, and it's a very good company. They know their stuff, and they're prompt.
Well, we get good service from them, yes. So that's really important. That's the main key of our operation there, is to keep that system up and going.
And they know our operation.
When will be the delivery time?
It's supposed to be September of 24.
Better than some of our other products out there. We're still waiting on a fire truck.
Better than trucks or vehicles.
Yeah. How old is the baler that's there now?
1980s?
Yeah, 30 years. Oh. Year more.
Okay. And it was used when yeah. We put it in. Yeah.
The thing's been re-steeled at least four times.
Yeah. It's time.
Okay, let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Loftbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
And the motion passes. Next, we have citizen participation plan.
Yes, this is part of a requirement that we have. This is the grant that we brought to you few months ago, we couldn't meet the qualifications, and that timeline was real quick. So one of the requirements is that you have a citizen participation plan, and we've included that in your package, and we do most of the stuff what's in that plan already. What this allows us to do is to have this in place, then we can apply for the CHIL grant. We do have one of our reps on the phone right now. Unfortunately, the people that are on Zoom can't hear what's going on in the meeting right now. So if there's any other questions, but what really this is designed for is the write-up talks about. It's for the low, moderate income citizens of the community where block grant funds are available, which we're going to start receiving those things. It gives them an opportunity to participate and really have a voice in what's going on, and you'll see in the what's written up behind there, that's the policy and procedure, how they can stay informed on what's going on.
I guess we need to work on our technology here, eh?
I'm not quite sure why they're having an issue, but I did get
a text
saying that they can chat, but they can't.
Well, let's have the motion first. Could we have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move the board approve the citizen participation plan.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. In reading that information that came with that plan, it will require Emmett County to provide an interpreter for non-English speaking residents. And I'm thinking that could include illegal aliens.
So does that make it illegal if they are?
Does it make the illegal aliens illegal?
Does it make the whole event illegal because they can understand what's going on? Even if they're illegal or legal citizens, what does it matter?
I guess I really don't understand your question, but I just wanted to point that out.
I don't understand your statement, so I'm trying to understand your statement. What does it mean? What do you mean by that?
Illegal aliens?
How does it affect this subject matter? How does it affect the subject matter, what we're talking about?
Well, in the proposal, that's what is required of Emmett County.
A lot of federal grants require the ability to have interpreters if someone's not, if English isn't their first language. So there's interpreters available.
That's a pretty standard
it is.
Feature, isn't it?
Correct.
Yeah. We have probably tens of millions of people in our country that speak other language other than English, and they're legal citizens. Let's not stoke hate where we don't have to.
Okay, any other discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Ginnell?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
No.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
And the motion passes. And up next, we have power cot.
Yes, you have two from EMS tonight. We have a replacement of an existing cot that's reached its end of the life. This is for the ambulance. This is the power cots that help assist them getting in and out of the ambulance and in and out of whatever location they're bringing him from. It's in the amount of $32,227.34 to Stryker Sales, LLC. And this is the same system that we're using in the rest of our fleet.
Okay, so go.
Chair, I'll make that motion.
All right, go ahead.
I move to approve the bid from Stryker Sales, LLC, for the purchase of one power loading cots for Emmett County EMS ambulances in the amount of $32,227.34, and authorize the county administrator to sign the purchase and order and any other required documents to facilitate the transaction.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnett?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Lochbaum?
Yes.
And the motion passes. Next, we have cardiac monitor.
The cardiac monitor and defibrillator for EMS. This is will be a new one to the fleet, but this allows us to dedicate this unit to the ALS unit. This is the same system that we have throughout Emmett County EMS. It's the same monitors, defibrillator again. This one is through Stryker LLC. This will also be used for training, but it also gives us another monitor to defibrillator on the street.
Okay, could we have the motion?
Mr. Chair, I move to approve the bid from Stryker Sales LLC for the purchase of one LifePak 15 cardiac monitor defibrillator for Emmett County EMS ambulances in the amount of $47,282.32 and authorize the county administrator to sign the purchase order and any other required documents to facilitate the transaction.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Lochbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
And the motion passes. Next, we're talking about the sheriff again.
Advanced Correctional Health is a company that's providing in-house health care in the jail. Since 2018, this agreement provides 32 hours of nursing services and one doctor and 24-hour call services. Anything in the jail that comes up, they have emergency access and a phone number to call, plus the hours of operation when the nurse is in there. The increase from over last year's just under 4% at 3.72% this year. The service has been excellent and very difficult to try to replace something like this.
Okay. Do we have the motion?
I'll make that motion. I move that the board approve the proposed 2024 renewal with Advanced Correctional Healthcare Incorporated for inmate health services as presented, not to exceed $153,072.71, pending a suitable agreement addendum to be determined by civil counsel and the administrator and authorize the administrator to sign the same.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Yes.
Commissioner Lochbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
And the motion passes. And we're going to go up to
Number three.
Straits Regional Ride Letter of Understanding.
This is the agreement that we've been signing year after year. The agreements between Sheboygan, Emmett, and Presqu'île regarding the transportation system that provides the buses that you see providing services throughout the county. If I'm not mistaken, we haven't been charged this year again.
Yeah, this is probably the third or fourth year that we have not been charged for this.
There's
ride.
Enough money in, and Don, you're on the.
Yeah.
But there's enough money from the federal and state money to offset the cost and then the ridership cost. Mm-hmm. So it's continuing that service on.
Okay, could we have the motion?
I'll make that motion. I move to approve the annual Straits Regional Ride Letter of Understanding reflecting Emmett County's participation in the regional transportation program and authorize the board chair to sign the letter.
I second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I am not a supporter of Straits Regional Ride. On page 2, section 6 of that understanding, letter of understanding, holds Emmett County responsible for any deficits. Also on page 3, section 8, article B, does the same. And very few citizens in my district use that. It's mostly used by people down here in Petoskey and Harbor Springs. I would say probably less than 10 people in my district use that. And being a driver for them back in 2018 and 19, I personally know how much money they can lose. It's not a self-sustaining operation.
How much is that program cost Emmett County?
It hasn't cost us anything in the last few years.
Okay, thank you.
Any other comments?
Just a question. If I understand things correctly, we're only, I think, if we had to pay something, it'd be like, what, $13,000 or something?
That's what I think is in the original agreement.
Yeah. Which we've paid years prior.
Yes.
Yeah, and we just haven't had to when there's still money left from COVID. Right. There's still money. So the system.
The state's still making their payments.
Correct.
Any other discussion?
We all have to think of our districts and our particular constituents in our district areas, but we also have to keep in mind that we're serving the entire county. We're not just for the people that live right where we live in our districts. We serve the entire county, all of us.
Okay, let's have a roll call vote.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Coons?
Yes.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
No.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnott?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
And the motion passes. And number four of the consent agenda of the State of Michigan's Emergency Management Performance.
This is a grant that the county receives. It's a pass-through federal grant that helps offset our emergency management program that we have in Emmett County. So it helps Matt Blythe offset his programs, our training. It's a critical part of our infrastructure and his wages, offset the part of his wages.
Okay, could we have someone read the motion?
Chair, I move to approve the 2023 EMPG grant agreement, the amount of $20,407, and authorize the board chair to send any and all required documents to implement this grant.
I second that.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Yes. I'd like to mention two things here. In the grant information here, it lists October 1st, 2022 to September 30th, 2023. That time has already passed. Then it also goes on to mention the purpose of this grant is to provide federal pass-through funds to the county for the development and maintenance of the emergency management program capable of protecting life, property, and vital infrastructure in times of disaster or emergency. Well, we already do have different departments that protect life, property, and infrastructure, and it's called the Emmett County Sheriff's Department, the State Police, the prosecuting attorney, and the courts, and this Board of Commissioners.
So I attended one of the emergency management meetings along with Mr. Boyer, and it was organizing the teams together. And so we just kind of did a kickoff of what we're looking at. If some major emergency happened in the county and it showed us in that room, how we had to wear special vests. You weren't there that day. But
I've been through the training.
But you've been through the training before. And so it's kind of coordinating all these teams together and showing the what we have to do when and if something happens, or if and when something happens, however you want to put that. So I think it's a good organizational rather than.
It is a requirement. So if there is a natural disaster or a disaster that happened in Gaylord, for example, when the tornado came through, emergency operation. EOC is open, the Emergency Operations Center is open, which is staffed by, depending on the incident. It could be the sheriffs, it could be the police departments, it could be a whole group of people, and the function of the Emergency Operations Center is to coordinate the activities that happen. So the chair has a seat in there. If we have to do a state emergency, it's up to the chair's responsibility. It's up to the administrator and the staff that we have to coordinate these. It's not just an incident. It's like a tornado, a situation like that. This group comes together to supply the resources to the folks that are in the field. And it's part of the state requirement to get our funding back. If it's a disaster and we want state or federal funding, you have to have this in place. And we work very closely with the state and the state coordinator. Emmett County, every county has an emergency operation system, and we are one that's a little bit behind, and we need to catch up.
But not only that it's a requirement to get the grant, it's also a good idea to have some organization and help ahead of time on the steps that need to take place. So I just think it was great.
Back in 2001, we had the 94 inches of snow in 4 days, and we had state of emergency in Emmett County, and the chair had to call it. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And when that's called, then there's a lot of steps that have to be in place. We have to do all the reporting. You have to do the state form. So we have a person that just sits on the computer and inputs that information back to the state. If we need resources, and I'm sure probably at that time there was some resources that came help to clear snow, so that gives us the ability to do mutual aid and bring in other resources throughout the state.
Thank you.
Well, Chairman, I do have one other concern on that. By consenting to that, I think you're also agreeing to give the federal and state emergency powers in an emergency, like what happened here about 3 years ago with the China flu, where they assumed the authority to shut everything down, which I don't want to do again.
So I think that came from the health department, and that's a little bit different than what we're talking about here, I believe. So, but I appreciate that comment. Any other discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
No.
Commissioner Coates?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
And the motion passes. And up next we have
December 11th meeting minutes.
Yeah.
I move to approve the December 11th meeting minutes.
Support.
We have a motion and support for the meeting minutes of December 11th. Any discussion?
Oh, yes, Mr. Chairman. I want to point out one thing in this motion that we did pass under a single source entry door monitoring. It lists $381,000 here over the three-year period. But as I understood, that was an estimate only. It wasn't an actual bid. And it said in their in one of their letters to us, meetings, court trials, and overtime will be extra. So I'm thinking that you could exceed that bid, or what I refer to as an estimate or proposal. Also, if weekend work or overtime is required, they charge a lot extra. So we're going to have to keep an eye on that.
Is that your understanding, Dave?
Yeah. Yes. There's the model that they put together is for four people. So by putting four people, they have enough in that bid, what they presented to us, to cover any extras like that. We feel confident that they will be able to meet that requirement. If we have something that comes up on a Saturday or a Sunday, a special meeting, anybody that we would have would charge additional. But for the meetings that we have in place that we know about, the ZBA meetings, the planning commissions, our meetings, that's all covered within the bid. And even looking at the extra court time, if court runs, the trial runs later, and they've got to stay, I think that's built into it also.
So the existing company would charge extra too?
Absolutely. Okay. Yep.
Any other discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Coons?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
And the motion passes. Coming down to appointments. Northern Michigan Regional Entity.
Mr. Chair, I make a motion that we reappoint Terrence Newton to the position.
Second.
We have a motion and a second for Terrence. Any discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, the same sign. Motion passes. Elston Regional Airport Committee.
Mr. Chair, I make the motion that we reappoint Mark Dreyer, Chris Nathan, and Tom Fairbairn to the Airport Committee.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, the same sign. Motion passes. Up next, we have Planning Commission.
I'd like to make a motion that we appoint Neil, Alexander, Bates, and Ehrman to the Planning Commission. Am I missing something there?
Yeah.
We received an application late today that I emailed to everybody, which was from David Lofbaum, who's currently on the committee. So three of the four that are listed there are currently on the committee. Jennifer Neal would be one that isn't currently sitting. And then, like I said, Mr. Lofbaum's application was received late, which was today. So it's up to you guys if you're going to consider.
So we do have a motion on the floor, right? Is there a second?
We don't have a second for that motion.
Second.
We have a motion and a second on the floor for, if correct me.
So the reason I nominated those four, we have five candidates and they're all qualified, it looks like. And I went back and looked at the our rules and procedure for appointments, and it says that we have to base our appointments on merit, experience, qualification, and geography, meaning where the people live. So I put together like a selection matrix to kind of think about merit, experience, and qualification. One of the criteria I get put was years experience, and just adding up the years of experience that these candidates have on boards and committees in our county and townships, it looks like Mr. Ehrman has the most at 23. Alexander has the second at 19. Lofbaum would be the third at 10. At 18. And Neal would be the fourth at 10. And then Bates would be the fifth with 4 years experience. So I ranked candidates in that category four through zero, you know, four being the highest and zero being the least. And then the other category, it says qualifications and merit. And so we have a couple of candidates that have bachelor's degrees, one in geography, one has a master's in planning. So I considered that category to be merit. And then we have extra qualifications, it says qualifications, several of them, or three of them listed extra qualifications or professional memberships that were relevant. Alexander is a certified citizen planner from MSU. Bates has an advisory board of the MSU Agricultural Committee, apparently. And Neal is a certified planner. And then as far as qualifications, merit, the education levels. Neal has a master's in planning. Bates has a bachelor's of science in geography, which is relevant to planning. Alexander has a bachelor's of science in marketing. I didn't see any reference in the other two candidates to education levels. So I ranked just to kind of put some numbers in it, you know, so it would be consistent with our rules and procedures. I ranked each one in the extra qualifications category. I thought the certified planner was probably the highest qualification in the extra qualifications, and that would be Neal with 4 points. I thought that the citizen planning certification was probably the second level of qualification, so that would be 3 points for Alexander. And the Michigan State Agricultural Advisor Committee, I thought, was the third level of qualifications. That would be 2 for Bates. Neither Loftbaum or Ehrman indicated any other qualifications beyond their experience. So I put zeros for those two. And then degree levels, the master's in planning, I thought was probably the highest qualification there. And that was Neil with 4. I thought the 2 bachelors of science would rank 2nd, and I thought Bates with his bachelor's of science in geography would be a little bit more relevant for planning, so that would be 3 points, and Alexander with 2. There was no indication from Loftbaum or Ehrman about education levels, but I just assumed that they were both had some level of education, gave them both ones. So when I totaled up the points, the highest point totals were Neil with 9 points, based on those criteria, and Alexander with 8, Bates and Ehrman tied with 5, and Loftbaum with 3 points total. And these are just my notes if you want to look at them. So that was how I based my nomination on sort of a, tried to put some numbers to a criterion that was several qualified people, I thought, and how do you categorize that? And so tried to be objective on it. And so that's why I nominated Neil, Ehrman, Bates, and Alexander.
Any other discussion on
that? I think that David Loftbaum should be on that board. He's been on there for 10 years, and I know he's in favor. He's on the side of the citizens, and he does have a high school education, and he's a businessman in Center Township.
So on your motion, you had Neil, Ehrman, Bates, and Alexandra.
Neil, Ehrman, Bates, and Alexandra. That's correct.
Just to confirm that motion.
Yeah, thank you.
And that was motion and a second. So we have a motion and a second on the floor. Let's take a roll call vote.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Loftbaum?
No.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
And the motion passes. Up next, we have the Zoning Board of Appeals. There are 2 seats open.
Suzanne, your write-up is Tony is applying for it to replace Jim Cargo as the alternate?
That's my understanding, because Jim is currently the alternate, and he submitted an application for the open.
I'll make the motion to appoint Mark Boudet and Jim Cargo to the Zoning Board of Appeals and Tony Dreyer as the alternate.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Just one thing that was requested from the planning department, that these appointments start January 1st.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. Motion passes.
Is there a meeting January 1st?
No, there's a meeting tomorrow, I think.
Well, they go through the end of the month. The appointments that are currently there.
So. Just making sure. If you ask me to yep. make sure, so I'm making sure. Yep.
Okay. Up next, we have the committee reports.
I can start. So the Brownfield Redevelopment Authority met on November 21st. agenda items included Maple Block Flats project, work plan consideration, a review, loss of Lumber Square project, work plan update. We reviewed both and discussed both of those. The Brownfield Redevelopment Authority also reviewed RFQs from two consulting firms, Mack Consulting and Fishbeck, for future consulting services. After careful consideration and a detailed discussion, the authority awarded the contract to Fishbeck. So they'll be our consultant moving forward. The Historical Commission met on December 14th, and we decided to go to quarterly meetings in 2024. And we had a pretty good introspective discussion about our commission and new projects that we could take on, new focus and a purpose for the Historical Commission and its role in the county. So I think there's going to be a rebirth or resurgence, I guess, of the Historical Commission. That's kind of my hope. And that's my report.
Thank you, Matt. Dave?
Matt did my Brownfield report. All my other committees were did not meet this month except for the Road Commission. Now, November 27th, the Road Commission met and approved gravel bids and the health care savings program agreements for the employee health care benefit. The board met on December 8th, and the 2024 Act 51 and general appropriation budgets were approved by the board. The board meeting scheduled for 2024 was approved, and Robinson Road from State to Teal Road was moved to Class A designation. Finally, the board approved the Michigan State Police Road Patrol contract 24, as well as the engineer manager's contract. And my final report is Merry Christmas to all, and have a good holiday season. Brian?
All right. Parks and Rec meeting was canceled for the month. DPW meeting was held December 7th. We discussed the policy statement regarding proper disposal of lithium batteries and the potential fire hazards throughout the state. We did just discuss the baler, and there were 9 bids, and only 2 bids would fit in the facility. And we did learn about the cost of recycled materials. Are we starting to recover from the lows from earlier in the year? And they're starting to, you know, get some more money for those recycled products. The TAC CCE, TAC was canceled, but the CCE meeting is tomorrow. Get an update on where we stand with the new CAD system. December 19th airport meeting was canceled, which was supposed to be today. We did have a special meeting of the fairgrounds on November 29th, discuss a potential big name performer for the 2024 concert. We did approve an increased budget for that, and I'm not going to mention any names until we know for sure who it's going to be. That's my report.
Thank you, Brian.
Yeah, I also attended those Road Commission meetings, and thank you, Dave, for covering those. And also the DPW meeting I attended, and that was well covered by Brian. On the 5th of December, I was at a Board of Health meeting at 10 a.m. After approval of the agenda and the minutes of the October 3rd meeting, we heard a director's report. He gave a lengthy report, again, talking about the sanitary code and the updates and on the state hearing concerns from local health departments. The impact of new rules and regulations, it could have a huge impact if put into law as written. The good news from all that is that the state committee seems to be hearing the concerns of their constituents and are starting to back off on some of those concerns that were voiced. After returning to open, and then we went into closed session to review the director's performance after 2 years, and then after returning to open session, we heard public comments and commissioners' comments, and then adjourned. The next meeting will be February 6th. 2024 at 10 a.m. for the Health Board. On the 12th of December, I attended Networks Northwest in Traverse City. We approved the minutes of September 9th and the committee schedule for 2024. As I reported in September, there is currently a search for a new executive officer, so an interim was appointed. Her name is Donna Rowland. Financial reports were accepted and approved, followed by many informational presentations presented by different people. The one of note was a draft report titled Regional Outdoor Recreation Study. Basically, what it confirmed, what most of us already know, that the 9-county region represented by Networks Northwest as a retirement destination. And then we have a Bay Bluffs meeting Thursday at 8 a.m. at the airport. That's all I have.
Thank you, Don. Neil?
Thank you, Don, for doing the Board of Health one. So I'm going to do that. I attended the bill pay meeting last Friday at 10 a.m. in person. I always learn new acronyms and how the process of payments happen, especially pass-throughs. December 4th, Northern Michigan Counties Association met, but I could not attend. It was a field trip to Oscoda and look at their dam and talk about how removing dams or fixing dams, all the pluses and minuses of that. Too much travel time, it would interfere with my schedule for the day. And I couldn't attend online, so. NLEA is tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, we're meeting our new president of the NLEA. Peyton Hines is the new leader. She lives in Antrim County. She was a unanimous selection of the Executive Search Committee. She is starting on Monday, January 8th. Meet and greet is tomorrow at 9 a.m. Let's read the description here that Carolyn had done. Peyton is from Alden, Michigan, in Antrim County, and says her personal goal is to lead a regional economic development organization. After not applying the first time, she saw that the NLEA position was reposted. She said, this is just meant to be. She will be leaving her role as Director of Policy and Strategic Initiatives for the Michigan Office of Rural Prosperity, formerly known as the Office of Rural Development. Her role there can be best summed up as working with lawmakers and rural leaders to find policy solutions to increase housing, retain and attract workforce, improve infrastructure, and support economic development. Prior to working for the state, she was the director of Michigan Initiatives for the Center for Community Progress, a national 501c3 organization, where she developed and managed a $500,000 budget, supervised staff, worked with the board of directors, and led fundraising efforts. The economic development focus of the Center for Community Progress was vacant property reclamation, where she used a variety of economic development tools, including brownfield funds and local land banks. During her tenure there, she had authored state and national reports, including Revitalization in Michigan, A Guide to Transforming Vacant, Abandoned, and Deteriorated Properties Through Code Enforcement, and Take It to the Bank, How Land Banks Are Strengthening America's Neighborhoods. Her educational background includes a Bachelor of Arts from Beams, Mass. And College at Michigan State University, go Green, and a double major in social relations and policy and German. She also earned a Master of Urban and Regional Planning from the University of Michigan, specializing in housing, community, and economic development. Our search committee observed a solid economic development vocabulary, a strong vision for the organization, and a passion for strengthening rural communities. Her references indicate that she's very goal-oriented, has strong communication skills, is very thorough in her work, and is very strategic in her planning. She's very familiar with the NLEA and attended last May's Economic Symposium. Okay. So thanks to the Executive Search Committee, which is our Administrator David Boyer, Jeremy Scott, Jeff Lawson, Kevin Shepard, Adam Coivisto, Jim Rummer, and Kim Pappas, who worked with the process. Also, thanks to Denise White, our Director of Human Resources, for assisting with the onboarding process. So, that's all about Peyton. I'm just trying to find my document again. Planning Commission. Met Thursday, December 7th. We had a postponement on a project at Wallen Lake Country Club. We have approved a special use permit for Brian Green, for BM Green LLC, along 31 North. It's the it's for some storage buildings. Approved a special use permit for John Kreisel for a level 3 resource mining operation to be located at 4750 Gully Road, Redmond Township. We approved a special use permit for an accessory building exception on Straits View Drive in Wawatam Township. A special use permit for an accessory building exception on Trails End Road, Springvale Township. And as we have a rolling thing with our zoning ordinance text amendments going through our whole zoning ordinances. Trying to clean them up. Staff is doing that. The board is not doing it. We go through what the staff does, and then we make decisions. And that's what I have. And Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Chuck?
Yes. Somebody already pointed out that the airport meeting was canceled for December. The last one we had was November 28th. I think we reported on this already, but jet fuel sales were up 7%. Low lead was also up. Passenger count was down. And I've noticed that the agenda for the airport meetings is quite light. And I'm kind of wondering if we just couldn't do a meeting every other month instead of every month. It's just one idea I had. And Neil has already covered the Planning Commission from December 7th. I think we were in the Christmas mood because of the 6 items on the agenda. We passed 5 of them, and I'd like to see that. I'd like to support the citizens as much as possible. On one that did not pass was withdrawn, like Neil pointed out already. And we do have a Zoning Board of Appeals meeting here tomorrow night in this room at 6 p.m. And that's it.
Thank you. And I had Cricket River Locks Consortium meeting that we didn't have enough people here, so we had a meeting that didn't happen. But we got some information and we went on with the business, and then I did attend the emergency management training seminar, and that was very good. We already talked about that, so everybody's heard about that. And the TAC meeting has been canceled, and the CCE 911 meeting is tomorrow. So that's it for me. It is time for public comment. Anybody wishing to speak, step up to the mic.
John Swartout is my name. The Citizen Participation Plan, presumably from its name, would be something citizens would participate in, not illegal immigrants. But I appreciate Commissioner Lofbaum's bringing up the question of the interpreter requirement for the plan. Most immigrants to the United States, in order to become citizens, have to pass a basic English competency test in order to become a citizen. So the requirement to provide an interpreter seems overkill at best. And I wonder what the consequences would be. And I'm asking the question. I don't expect an answer tonight, but I think we should all ask the question, what are the consequences to the county if you were to, for practical or financial reasons, could not provide an interpreter for speakers of Farsi, Russian, Mandarin, Portuguese, or any of 150 or so Philippine dialects? That may seem a frivolous question at this point because we don't have lots of those nationalities living in our midst, but that isn't to say it couldn't happen.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak? Seeing no one, our next for announcements, our next County Commissioner organizational meeting will be held January 3rd, that is Wednesday, and it also has a time change of 4:30 in this room, the County Commissioner's room. Let's have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We're adjourned.
Do you want these, Susan?
No. Thank you.